"Rise and have no fear." It says they were filled with awe, but when Jesus came and touched them, what did he say? "Have no fear." So awe, their awe was fear. The main point I would like to make is this, that nourishing and strengthening our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his final victory enables us to get through difficult and uncertain times. Difficult and uncertain times. Does anyone experience that these days? Like every day. In his commentary on the Transfiguration, St. Nikolai of Zycha asked these questions for our instruction. And I think we heard some of this in the Synaxarion, if you were here in the Orthros earlier. Why did the Lord take only three disciples on to Tabor and not all of them? Because, St. Nikolai says, Judas was not worthy to behold the divine glory of the teacher whom he would betray, and the Lord did not want to leave Judas alone at the foot of the mountain so that he, the betrayer, would not by that justify his betrayal. Well, he didn't let me go up. I'm going to betray him. St. Nikolai's reflection for the day, he further elaborates on this. Why did the Lord not manifest his divine glory on Tabor before all of the disciples instead of before three of them? First, because he himself gave the law through the mouth of Moses. And this is important whenever we discuss the matters of the Old Testament law. And we have people who dismiss these things, saying that Jesus never said that. Jesus is the one who said it in the Old Testament. When it says, "Thus saith the Lord," that is the Son of God, the Son and Word of God, who became incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't change when he became incarnate. Just keep this in the back of your head, because you will hear people deny that Jesus ever said this or that or against this or against that. He gave Jesus gave the whole law to Moses. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established, Deuteronomy 19. And so, therefore, three witnesses were sufficient. These three witnesses represent three main virtues. Peter, faith. For he was the first to confess his faith in Christ as the Son of God. James, hope. For with faith in the promise of Christ, he was the first to lay down his life for the Lord, being first to be slain by the Jews. And John, love. Faith, hope, and love. Peter, James, and John. For John reclined on the bosom of the Lord and remained beneath the cross of the Lord until the end. And so why was the Lord transfigured on a mountain and not in a valley? So as to teach us two virtues. One, love of labor, and two, godly thoughts. For climbing to the heights required labor, and the height represents the height of our thoughts, that is, godly thoughts. Now, I've been to the heights of Mount Tabor. My wife and I went to the heights of Mount Tabor. But we went in a bus. I really can't imagine, after being there, what it would have been like to have to climb that mountain. That is a steep, tall mountain. Took a lot of work to get to the top. Why was our Lord transfigured at night? Because the night, rather than the day, is more suitable for prayer and godly thoughts, and because the night, by its darkness, conceals all the beauty of the earth and reveals all the starry heavens. Why did Moses and Elijah appear? In order to destroy the error of the Jews, as though Christ was just one of the prophets. Elijah or Jeremiah or some other. And that's why he appears as a king above the prophets. And that's why Moses and Elijah appear on the Mount of Transfiguration as his servants. Again, St. Nikolai further elaborates on Moses and Elijah in his reflection. God is not called the God of many, but rather the God of the chosen. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Exodus 3:6. God often valued the faithful man more than an entire nation. One man more than an entire nation. Thus, on many occasions, he wanted to destroy the entire Jewish nation, but because of the prayers of righteous Moses, he spared the nation to live. And God listened more to the prophet Elijah, than to the entire unbelieving kingdom of Ahab, and because of the prayers of this one man, God saved towns and peoples. So how might we apply these things to our own lives on this glorious day? I believe that it is an encouragement to us to have faith and to cling to our faith in Him. Until then, our Lord had manifested His divine power many times to the disciples, but on Mount Tabor, He manifested His divine nature. This vision of His divinity and hearing of the heavenly witness about Him as the Son of God should serve the disciples in the days of the Lord's Passion in strengthening of an unwavering faith in Him and His final victory. I hope I haven't completely lost my voice. Is it not good for us to be reminded once again how the face of the transfigured Lord shone as the sun, and how even I, darkened by sin, can shine by Christ's power and grace with the original radiance of sinless man? I'm sure you, like I, receive messages, links, watch this video, watch that video. I usually click on them and watch them, at least for 5 seconds or 10 seconds, to see if I like it. This lady's talking about Bible study that she was in. And they were studying the book of Malachi. And they were in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. For he is like a refiner's fire, and he sits and refines the silver until it becomes pure. And nobody really knew exactly what the illustration meant, and so she decided she would try to figure it out. So she read some things. She finally got a hold of a silver refiner and said, "Can I come over and watch you do what you're doing?" And he said, "Yes, you can come over." And he comes over. She comes over and he watches. She watches him do this. And he actually sits there because it's a long process. And she said, "Well, how do you know when you're done?" Thank you. And he said, "Well, you can't do it too long and you can't do it too short. If you do it too short, it doesn't become purified. And if you do it too long, you can damage it." And she said, "Okay, I get that. So how do you know when it's there, when it's just right, and you can take it off of the heat?" He said, "That's easy when I can see my image in it." Are you ready to be like Jesus? Are you ready to be the image of Jesus in the world? Jesus himself shows us that this is possible. Not just with him, but with us. If we're only willing. We should not say, "I've heard this before. I don't need to hear it again." But truth is food for the soul. Truth is food for the soul. Have we not eaten today, yesterday, the day before yesterday, and for months and years past? And will we not eat again so that our bodies will be healthy? We should also nourish our souls and nourish it with truth, the same truth yesterday, today, tomorrow, until death, so that our souls may be healthy and strong and radiant. That's why we're here today. That's why we celebrate this feast of the Transfiguration today and every year on this day. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, nourish us every day and every hour with your truth, which is yourself, O Jesus, our sweet nourishment. To thee be glory and praise forever. Amen.